Welcome to the Super Friends podcast, where we talk about comics, superheroes, and everything related and in between. I'm Brody.
And I'm Brian, and today we're joined by my sister, Emily Rosenbaum, and my niece, Olivia. They're our special guests. Yeah, so like the little sound you heard right at the beginning of the show, that was Olivia making a cute noise. So Emily, you want to explain? Yeah, well, introduce yourself and then introduce the baby because she can't speak yet.
I mean, she thinks she can.
She tries.
Yeah. No. So I'm Emily. I'm Brian's sister. I've known him for almost 23 years because he's almost 23. So, and then I have my daughter Olivia. She is 4 months old. She's very talkative when she feels like it. But yeah, so I am an elementary ed major at BYU Idaho. So I'm supposed to graduate in like a year and from December of 24. So that's kind of scary, but oh well.
Life is scary.
It's coming up.
I came into that.
Awesome.
It's happening. Awesome stuff. So you guys kind of want to explain what we're going to be talking about for this episode?
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about Batman versus Superman. And then a little bit about, like, women's role in that movie. It was just something that I remember when we watched it. I also told Brian, I talked about this when I had to do for an individual oral when I was in high school. I talked about Batman versus Superman. And I did not get a very good score because I was super nervous giving that presentation. So this is my redemption for my, yes. Clearly I haven't gotten over it from my junior year of high school. It still haunts me. So.
This is Emily's redemption arc.
It's my redemption arc.
Come on, Emily. You didn't nail it. You didn't nail the first one.
I was shaking and I almost cried. So no, I did not nail it.
Oh,
so basically, Tyler's the only thing to talk about a superhero during their presentations because junior year, Batman was in every single one of my presentations.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Tyler's got to step it up, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Get on it, Tyler.
You got to bring it.
Gosh, Tyler. All right, so Emily, female roles in Batman vs Superman, great topic. We're excited. So let's just start off with, who is your favorite? Because there's pretty much two main female roles in Batman vs Superman. Which one is your favorite?
There's three, but one gets blown
out. It's got to be my homegirl. It's got to be Diana Prince. It's got to be Wonder Woman. I love her. Like, her the whole time in that movie, I was just like, chef's kiss, okay? Like, she is brilliant.
It is awesome to see. I mean, I remember when she first came on the screen, and we knew like Wonder was supposed to be in the movie, and me and Tyler were like,
uh-huh.
I think the comment Tyler always have when we watch that is there's, I think it's the first dress she wears at Lex Luthor's party, either that or the one she wears at like the museum, and she's got like a metal bar that like holds the front and the back of the dress together, but it looks like it digs through her neck, and me and Tyler every time we go, whose costume idea was that? Because that does not look comfortable. It looks like it's digging into her neck every time.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah,
like that is
I just remember when we saw it, I remember two things. One, I remember that it took forever for the movie to get started. Do you remember that? That there was something wrong?
Froze.
Yes.
Like, it went to the silence your cell phones, the screen froze. And every time I see a movie, I'm like, please don't freeze.
Please don't freeze. And then the other thing was the people behind us would not keep their little kid quiet. Like, that kid was talking at full volume the whole time. And when Wonder Woman came on screen, she shushed me because I yelled, and it took everything in my power not to turn around and shush that lady right back because I was like, listen, man, come on. But like, it is Wonder Woman. And it was like, I remember watching that and thinking, oh my gosh, like something's going to happen. And I kept just hoping. And then you just see what it like reflects and you hear the sound from her armbands. And I just exploded. Just exploded. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Wonder Woman. She's in this film. Like, it's real. And I was,
oh my gosh, what's happening?
Everybody, don't freak out.
Everybody chill the heck out. chill out, everyone. Emily.
Yeah, pretty much.
I remember when we saw that and when we left, one of the disagreements me, you, and Tyler had, which was so funny because I was just like,
I like disagreeing with Brian, so.
This was a good one.
Me and Brody get into like some odd disagreements on this show in the middle of stuff. Like, it's so funny. Every once in a while. Well, especially if I can find a way to bring in New 52. We'll just have a quick disagreement.
Every time.
Every time. But one disagreement we had was we were talking about Batman and Superman doing stuff. And you said something about like, love real hero. And me and Tyler were like, time the heck out. Hold on. And we were like, I like Lois Lane. I love Amy Adams as Lois Lane. She does a fantastic job. But we were like, she doesn't. I was like, she's not the real hero. I mean, we came to agreement. Like, Wonder Woman was like, she like came in and kicked Doomsday's butt. But she was not the real. Lois Lane was not the real hero. Do you remember?
I say not.
I think Lois Lane is only the real hero in as much as Samwise Gamgee is the real hero in Lord of the Rings.
Time out. Hold on. Wait. But Sam is the real hero of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Brody agrees with me.
Lois didn't do anything that Lois like, stuff that important.
She
brought Lois the light with her. That's power
was the crux. The crux of the entire ending of that movie.
Yeah, but Batman was burnt meat. If it wasn't for Wonder Woman. Like, he was the one a dead man. Yeah, but I mean, it's not the same.
Okay, but how would it have played out if they hadn't had that kryptonite spear?
Yeah, but I mean, she didn't actually go and get it, though. She just almost died. Superman got it, and Batman
what I also think of is, like, I mean, yeah, like, she kind of put herself in, like, harm's way at the beginning. She was following a story. Like,
yeah.
She was trying to prove something. And that, to me, is, she's human, but she was also trying to do something good. Like, she was like, there is something wrong, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it because this needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do agree. And the problem with my, like, kind of, like, how I saw Lois was, first off, that was my first experience seeing Amy Adams' Lois Lane was in theaters because, I mean, I grew up with Christopher Reeve Superman, and I talked to Brody about this. I didn't have a lot of opportunity to watch, like, the animated Justice League series or, like, Smallville, so my only, like, iteration of, you know, some sort of, like, TV or movie Superman was Christopher Reeve's. So when the Man of Steel came out, I was like, man, I don't know about this because I had no sort of exposure to any of the Superman. Mm-hmm. But then when Batman came out, I was like, okay, I have to see it. Because I remember, I don't know if you remember, Emily, but I remember being so lost on some things.
Yeah.
Like, I actually already knew General Swanwick. I was like, who the McHeck? Because I was so lost. I was like, who is General Swanwick? And then watched Man of Steel. And now I'm like, General Swanwick is the man.
He's the Martian Manhunter.
He is. And I've talked to Emily about this because I watched Batman Superman and I can't shut up about it. But, like, what we saw in the theater was Warner Bros. Took out chunks of story that then it was kind of like, I don't know about this. Whereas in, like, I think I've shown you, I'm like the extended version.
The Ultimate Edition?
Yeah, the Ultimate Edition. There is so much more about Lois going, like, I forget what her name is, but, like, her forensic scientist friend from Pride and Prejudice. She goes and gets her to show her, yeah, look, all of this evidence because you brought me this stupid bullet. And I'm like, okay, there's so much more to Lois here. Like,
yeah.
Even going to talk to the terrorist at the beginning of the movie, I was kind of like, what kind of a stupid, you know, I'm like, I realize that's Lois.
Okay, Lois has always done that. If you're going to get freaking Margot Kidder in Superman 2 jumps out a window after being convinced Clark is Superman because she drew a doodle on the picture of Superman. She drew a doodle on Superman and was like, yeah, I'm willing to jump out a window for that.
Well, even then, but also, like, in Batman versus Superman, Lois, my hero. In the OG that we watched growing up with Christopher Reeve and Margot Kidder, I hated her. Like when they're on the story in the second one and she throws herself over the ridge and she goes, bye bye, baby, and just like throws herself. I was like,
in Niagara Falls?
Yes!
Yes! And I'm like,
are you kidding me right now? Like,
well, that's what's funny. Mom also doesn't really like Margot Kidder's Lois Lane. Like, not like she doesn't like it.
Margot Kidder was great like, in the first movie. I do not have any problems with her in the first movie.
I have a little bit of a problem with her. Who unbuckles themselves when a helicopter is falling?
Emily, you're just jealous you don't have the Lois Lane drip from Superman the movie.
Yes.
Her, like, one color outfit.
The Lois Lane drip.
The helicopter scene is the most famous Superman scene of all time.
Like, it's been immortalized. And I dream of that scene. Every night. Yes,
every night.
But it's funny because mom also doesn't necessarily, because like mom's whole thing with Margot Kidder's Lois Lane is she's like, I don't know, she's super mean to Clark, but she loves Superman because she likes Amy Adams because she's like, she loves Clark first. Because, and I was like, well, that's because, and I do agree because I'm like, when she got to know Superman,
technically she knows him as Kal-El, I would say first.
Exactly. Because
I would before say, yeah.
On the idea of Clark Kent and he wasn't Superman yet, she fell in love with Kal. So then when he is Superman, it's like, it kind of doesn't matter. She knows who he is deep down, like how his parents know him, you know.
Hate to bring this and that's up, why, but Brian knows I'm right. The best version of Lois Lane is in Superman and Lois, when Lois actually falls in love with Clark before she even meets Superman.
I love that scene where they're like, Emily, you have to watch this show, because there's a scene, like a flashback to when they first meet, and it's Lois doing an interview with Superman, you know. And they have to call a cut because something happens. And she and
yeah, her super- microphone gets messed up. They have to fix her microphone.
Yeah. So she's going to talk to someone. And they and her friend says, I'm like, I think Superman has a thing for you. And she says something along the lines, she only really has eyes for Clark. And he starts to smile to himself. Because she's like, yeah, the Superman guy, he's cool. But he's nothing to Clark. And I'm like,
yeah,
beautiful. No. And then season 3. I love superhero things, but it doesn't necessarily, like, if anything, it makes me excited.
You cannot say anything about season 3.
I will not say anything, but season 3 was such an emotional roller coaster for Lois. That's okay. All I'll say.
Season 1, I love season 1. Season 2 kind of dropped off a little bit for me. I was not crazy about season 2. Season 3 took me right back up there, baby. Woo!
The best
thing about that's how I felt about Supergirl. Let me tell you, nothing made me cry harder than season 2 of Supergirl. Bring me on for another episode, and I will tell you all about why I love Supergirl, okay?
Okay.
It's like Emily's episode part 2, this time it's Supergirl.
Supergirl.
Then bring you for another one, and we'll talk all about Wonder Woman and why Chris Pine was the real hero of that movie, okay? Like, but that's because Chris Pine, I love him, so.
Emily, you're married.
My dad made fun of me in theaters. I don't know if Brian remembers that, but I openly bawled, and my dad made fun of me.
Yeah, well, you tried to drink Coke, so, and you made fun of him for that, so you got him back for that.
I did get him back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can probably hear him make fun out there. He's probably like, what are they talking about?
He's like, what? Okay, but backtracking. To Batman and Superman, we started talking about Superman and Lois, which is by far one of the best versions of Superman in modern media. But
So good.
I mean, it just doesn't get better than Dad Superman. I mean, Dad Superman's the goal.
Because the whole show, he's like a dad first, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it just doesn't get better than Dad Superman.
So good.
But I think, okay. I mentioned this at the beginning, and I think it needs to be talked about. How dirty they did Mercy Graves in Batman versus Superman. Mercy is just, like, totally willing to do whatever Lex wants to do, kind of assistant, and then she freaking gets blown up in the courthouse scene.
He says something maybe once. He says something maybe once.
I'm like, okay, Mercy deserves a lot more love than that.
I was like, that's who it was.
Ride or die, and she once. Did die.
Yeah. Everybody and died. They dead. Nobody survived that explosion except Superman.
Which also then was just like, I remember talking about this, like, see, this is my redemption arc, was a lot of Batman versus Superman, there was so much gray area. Like, there was no black and white. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no real villain. They were fighting each other because it was such a gray area. So when that hurricane blows up, yeah, of course Superman's going to fly out of there. He's invincible. So it was like, they knew that. And they knew if he showed up, like, how that would look. And it's like, I remember sitting there and watching that and going, is he going to fly out of there? Or is he just going to sit in there and then, like, sneak out the back or something? Like, if it was me being Superman, I would have 100% just snuck out the back. And everybody would have been like, oh, no, Superman died in the explosion. Superman's maybe he's not as bad as we thought he was.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, he's like, what happened? Like, in his news reporter role. That would be me. But he didn't. Like, he still flew out of there. And I was like, man, that takes guts.
And, well, here's the thing, Emily. I'm gonna ask you a question. I want you to answer honestly.
Brian's going to get Superman on his soapbox.
Flying out of there. Superman flying out of there and not doing anything. Because that's what you saw in theaters, was Superman just kind of piecing out. Did that seem off to you? Like, he just
left. Did it seem off that he just left?
Yeah, because in the movie, he didn't really help anything. He just peaced out.
Like, I don't know. I feel like he didn't really have a choice. He could have snuck out the back, you know, the broken Capitol building.
Brian's trying to put in another cut for the Ultimate Edition.
I'm trying to help you out here. So, basically, says, because, like, I'm sorry, the whole thing is, like, the government and the media is trying to say he's not a trustworthy person throughout the whole movie, right? And then kind of in that theater cut where it is, like, explosion and he kind of leaves, it's like, yeah, what kind of choice did he have? Like, everyone is dead and he didn't stop it. Like, you know, geez. But then he leaves. Not even like he helps do anything. So it's almost like Warner Bros. Wants to think he's a terrible person. In the Ultimate Cut, in the Ultimate Edition, which is longer, it shows the explosion. It shows him standing there in the fire, kind of just like, you know, that look on his face where he's like, why didn't I do anything? Why couldn't I stop it, you know? But then instead of him flying away, it shows him bringing people out of the Capitol building who are surviving. He's going back and forth. And then once everyone's out, then he leaves. So Warner Bros. Deliberately showed us him peeing out, not helping anyone.
Okay.
But Zack Snyder wrote it. It saves people who are still some survivors before leaving.
If there's two things you can count on that are like as good as gold from Warner Brothers, it's Batman products and villainifying Superman. Because one, Batman's a cash cow. He makes millions of dollars for them. Billions of dollars for them. So that won't ever stop making. It's why I don't buy any Batman products. It's a oversaturated market. I've been on a ban for a while now.
Okay, but what about your Dark Knight?
Brody saying that was Batman.
About what?
This is a good sign.
Dark Knight what?
Your Dark Knight's action figures from the Nth Metal series. Those are all Batman.
That was before the ban.
Oh, okay. I was over here like
no. I think it was maybe a year or two ago. It was before I got married, so almost 2 years. But I just was looking at all my stuff, and people would keep coming over, and they'd be like, "Oh, are you a Batman fan?" I'm like, "No, I'm a Flash fan." But there's too much Batman stuff to buy. So if you buy the Batman stuff, of course it's gonna look like you're a Batman fan. So I don't buy any Batman stuff. I'll buy another Batman thing once my Flash collection is more than Batman. But no, and vilifying Superman. That's just the world. The world does not understand how Superman can be a good guy. They just don't get it. So it's so much easier to create an evil version of Superman. You got, you know, Homelander, Omni-Man, Brightburn, Injustice Superman.
Like the original version of Zack Snyder's Justice League 2, where his will is being controlled by Darkseid.
It's so much easier to make an evil Superman story. It's not as compelling. Good Superman stories are much more compelling if you do them right, where it's...
Well, because I also think what I find a couple other things interesting was I don't remember what her name is. I just know it's Holly Hunter, and she's Elastigirl, you know, and so she plays the senator. She also thought what she was doing was the right thing. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, and again, that just plays into that gray area of the movie. But I also thought it was cool that that's who they hired. And I always have wondered if they did that on purpose, knowing that she also played a superhero. But, like, because she is a lesser girl. But she did think.
Can you hear me here?
Can you hear me now?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Back. Sorry, my phone shut off. But I just had to keep tapping the screen and I forgot to. Anyway, what she thought she was doing was also the right thing, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And did it get her? It got her killed. But at the same time, if she could have been saved, I think she would have been.
Yeah.
Because I think she realized her mistake there in the last second. Because
at the very last second, I think she realized, oh crap. But that's the same then in, but that's the same as her character in The Incredibles, right? Yeah. I mean, all of the superheroes, like, people don't want the superheroes. But while she's not the one saying no more superheroes,
mm-hmm.
she at the same time in that movie, she was willing to go into hiding if it meant protecting her family.
Yeah. Yep.
And so. Once
in sidebar, about her, can you talk about how The Incredibles sidebar? Is basically a superhero movie about a dad having an affair? Like, that's the innuendo of the whole movie.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Like, that's what she thinks the entire movie is, that Bob is just leaving to, like,
have to be with somebody else. And she still is protecting her family.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Like, she still doesn't tell them that. Like, when she leaves, when Violet asks where she's going, dad's in trouble or he's going to be. But she doesn't tell them where she is going.
Mm-hmm.
And still, really doesn't tell them anything until after the plane blows up. And she tells them, do you remember when you watched those shows? These guys are not like those bad guys that you watched. You know, and I just, like, I have a lot of love for Lost Girl. I think I'm going to have to come back a couple times and we can talk about all of my love for different ones.
The Incredibles is my number one favorite Pixar movie.
I love The Incredibles. It's so good. But I think in that, but still, like, with Batman versus Superman, I'll bring us back. I think it's so interesting how much of that movie is, like, a gray area. Like, everybody's mad at Superman for what happened at the beginning of the movie. I mean, that little girl, the very beginning that Bruce saves, when he says, where is your mom? And she just points out to this building that has completely collapsed. You know her mom is gone. You know she doesn't know what she's going to do. And he is mad at Superman. He thinks it's all Superman's fault. And maybe it is, like, a little bit, but at the same time, Superman had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to save everybody from someone who just wanted to be a dictator.
Yeah.
He just wanted to conquer all of Earth, and Superman couldn't let that happen. He couldn't let that happen to the free will of the people.
Yeah.
And what's also about the beginning? Wonder Woman.
Like, I love Wonder Woman.
She Ryan, would not have you, seen, have you seen that meme where it's the beginning of that movie? But he goes, like, where's your mom? And she's like, I don't know. And he goes, shh, Robin, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Robin's gonna be okay. That's, I think we were 5 seconds away from him, that he was making a decision right there in that moment. He was like, I'm gonna try to kill Superman.
Or little girl, not going to be Robin.
But I think it's interesting, is, like, a couple things right at the beginning of that movie too, because now I'm gonna go on a tangent for a second, because I only said the beginning of the movie, it's not happening. First up, when Bruce runs into that collapsed building, so figuratively running into the fire, the horse that's coming out, that's similar to one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Because there's four horsemen at the whole movie, so if you see where they are, you kind of know what they represent. That's one of the horsemen. Another thing is that Superman, also the first movie, is the constant subtle references and allegories to Superman being like Jesus Christ. Because even when he's talking to his priest about giving himself up, it's him sitting in front of a stained glass window of Christ in Gethsemane, where he is getting ready to sacrifice himself for humanity. So it's kind of that nod, even the stained glass windows, Christ has on a red robe that's flowing behind him.
Yeah.
But then when Batman goes and saves this little girl, the building that's going to fall on her looks like a giant cross. So it's almost like them being betrayed by it. But then the way Bruce runs across and grabs her and scoops her up and grabs her, and it's blurred. Bruce is wearing a very blue shirt and vest. and that little girl has a very red jacket in her hand. So when he scoops her up and runs, that blur almost looks like he's replacing Superman. Because in his mind, Superman is not doing good. He's just causing destruction, and he could kill them in any second because of what Zod has been doing. So he has to replace that. Emily, we've lost your audio again.
So, hold on. I did not have a tweet. But what I was saying was, is that then Superman's take on Batman or Bruce Wayne as well? Like, that's why he investigates him. That's why he asks him all those questions. Because he doesn't trust him either. He still, like, they yep. both themselves in this savior role, and as the other one as the anti. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like that's then why Wonder Woman maybe needed to come on the scene. They would not, I don't think, have fought together without there being somebody there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I exploded in the theater. And like her theme that Hans Zimmer did for her, like, man, I could go on all day about Hans Zimmer as well, but this is not a music podcast. So but I love her theme, because I love as soon as like she brings her arms down, like, and you see her face, that her theme plays, and I was like, that is the Wonder Woman theme. Like, that does take in everything. She's this Amazon woman, she's amazing, and like, I was like, this is perfect. This is a perfect theme for her.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll always be a little partial to Linda Carter's Wonder Woman.
Like, her spin, like, I would have loved to have seen that in any of the Wonder Woman movies where she just does a spin and she's in her uniform. Man, I can't tell you, like, how excited I was when in Supergirl, like, I'm going to jump back to this, when Linda Carter's the president, I exploded. Like, I don't know if Brian remembers it. I full-on screamed because I was so excited because I love Linda Carter. In that episode, then, when Supergirl flies away to go help, she does the Linda Carter spin into her superhero uniform, and I lost it. But then that's the same as when we saw Wonder Woman 1984, and at the end, and it's Linda Carter. And my brothers hate this, but when I get really, really excited and I'm like, oh my gosh, are you watching this? Like, I whack them pretty hard. Like, this was one of the only times that they did not get mad at me, that I was sitting next to Brian and I was full on like whacking his chest, like, it's Linda Carter, it's Linda Carter, it's Linda Carter, this is so cool, it's Linda Carter. Because I was so, like, well, it was as soon as I saw her wristlets too, that I was like, oh my gosh, I know who it is. And she turned around and I could not, I was so excited.
Because Linda Carter is also a fine wine, you could recognize her anywhere.
She looks amazing.
She looks fantastic, and I think it also has to do with her healthy lifestyle. Like, she's always been like an advocate for that, like, living a healthy lifestyle.
I love Linda Carter. I love her. If she ran for president, she would get my vote 100%. Wonder Woman in the country, heck yes. But I feel like, you know, I just think I really felt like the role, like, especially Wonder Woman's role, even like throughout the movie, as she's doing things in Batman versus Superman, she's doing them for a reason. She is showing up for a reason because she does want to help. I do think that she wanted to be a part of it, but I feel like she was a little bit worried about outing herself without being able to trust them.
Yeah.
And so I feel like when Bruce sends her that picture telling her that he knows who she is, I feel like that could have gone 50-50. That could have gone that she didn't show up to help them, or she still could have, like, it plays in the movie. And I'm so glad that she does show up, because then that does, I feel like that does start to unite them.
Especially because she was in the act of leaving until she saw, I have no choice. They need my help.
Yeah.
The only one who can help them. And I mentioned this to Emily, because every time I watch the movie, I love it. It's sad. But like, she doesn't know Superman at all. She's had more interactions with Bruce, but none with Clark. And what I love is, it's like a sad moment in the movie because Superman's dead. But what I like is when Lois comes running around the corner, Batman is folding Superman's arms so he can wrap his cape around him so he can lower him. But I like how Wonder Woman's the one who looks to Lois, and she doesn't say anything. She just quietly shakes her head to her, you know, because she's a warrior. She knows people die in battle. So I love that she doesn't know Superman, but she was fighting with him. So she does very respectfully, gently grab Superman and slowly lower him to the ground so she doesn't, you know, harm his remains at all. How? Because it's like she's honoring a warrior, someone who's been fighting to protect him.
In as much as she's a warrior, she still is a woman. She still does that, you know, don't come over here. Like, she still has that empathetic, that sympathetic vein where she is like, yeah, she's this warrior. She knows what happens in battle. Like, she has witnessed it. Who knows how many times between World War One when she was there to now? Like, who knows how many times she's witnessed that? I know.
Saw?
Yeah, I saw.
Address.
Okay. But I love that. She's a warrior. She's still a woman. Yeah.
And especially how like she is very much aware of what it's like to lose someone. Like, you don't know that in 2016 when you're seeing this for the first time. How she gently shakes her head to Lois and is very respectful and like steps back so Lois can get in there and look at him. You know, mm-hmm. Because she herself has lost someone. The first person she really interacted with humans, she fell in love with, you know, Steve. And then, you know, he straight up died. So it's
that, Steve, like, gave his life.
And then we'll learn in the second one that she had a weird thing with some other dude that looked like Steve in her mind. But
listen, I will go to bat about that.
Okay, go, Emily, because I think 1984 is the weirdest movie that DC has ever produced.
I love 1984, but I have to go. We will have to pick up on this another time. I will go to bat for 1984. I love so many things in that movie.
All right, Emily. Well, thanks for joining us. And I think we had a lot of good discussion about it. And, like, I'm sure you're welcome back anytime, unless Brian is like, I don't want my sister back on here. She knows too much about me.
I'm like, the baby can come back.
Yeah.
You come back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Olivia can come back, but Emily.
No, I guess Emily. If you're accompanied you're by welcome. The baby, then I guess that's okay.
Okay.
As long as it looks.
All right. Well, thank you for joining. Brian, do you have anything you want to talk about after Emily gets off?
I think I am good.
Okay. So we'll just sign off here. Thank you, everyone, for listening or for watching it. Remember to leave us a review if you can, and check back with us next week. All right.
Great.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
And meeting. Okay.